now, Lifestyle with Patty Mack on CFAX 1070.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here with you on this lovely sunny day. We've got a wonderful hour lined up for you, so take the time out, have a cup of coffee, and join us. We're going to talk to Lorna Vanderhaeg later on about heart health. Of course, February is Heart Health Awareness Month. We're going to talk about courtship in a modern world and what the stats are looking like. And we're going to talk to Nancy Gray Hemstock about saging, which is aging with a good attitude. And off the top, speaking of good attitude, we have Darren Hart, Hart Legal. It's redefining conflict resolution. Welcome to the show, Darren.
Oh, hi. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Now, I looked at your website, Hart Legal, and it's a very positive a website, very positive things to say about resolution. Tell us about what you do at Hart Legal, redefining conflict resolution.
Well, we're lawyers by trade. We also provide mediation services. The general goal for us, more than anything, is that we want to be a transformational sort of experience for our clients rather than transactional. So we really put a lot of energy and effort into trying to help our clients grow through the process that they may find themselves in, which is ultimately conflict. And we practice in three areas: matrimonial law, estate litigation, and personal injury. And so we try to, you know, go on this journey with our clients and help them grow through the process.
And conflict resolution, an opportunity for personal growth, a challenge to overcome obstacles in a positive way. And you have other things like the glass is half full. Is this something that you've always been like inside, that you're a positive person, that you want to see change in a positive way, and the legal system didn't represent that?
Well, first of all, the first part of the question is absolutely true. Yes, I always am trying to look for that silver lining. I don't really quite know how you can go through life without doing that, because life is so much of a challenge as it is. Mm-hmm. The legal profession, though, is actually pretty good at doing a lot of these things. Sometimes things fall short in terms of the court process simply because the cost of prosecuting and defending claims. And so we're also very, we put a lot of emphasis with our clients in looking at ways of resolving their disputes in an alternative way. And we put a big emphasis on mediation at my firm. But generally speaking, I think that, quite frankly, just what ends up happening is that people need to, you know, get on with resolving the problems that they find themselves in. And we try to help them do it in a more quick, efficient fashion, and we try to just move them towards the end game quicker than anywhere else.
Now, I want to talk about some of the other things that you do, but, you know, divorce and separation, of course, comes to mind because, you know, you hear so many horror stories about, you know, the children and what the families are going through because it gets dragged out and it gets really ugly. So how does that work with you as sort of the mediator in the middle? How is that different than other cases?
Well, I think the nice thing about mediation is it really truly is a process. It's an opportunity for parties to come together and have a little bit more control over that process. Sometimes people find themselves in the court process and they feel like they don't have a lot of control. They've handed that off to someone else to make decisions for them. And through the mediation process, they get a lot of opportunity to express how they feel, what they're thinking, what their plans are. A good mediator, and by the way, there's a lot of tremendously good mediators in Victoria. They act as this sort of facilitator with some authority, and they really help people work through the issues that they need to address and try to find amicable and harmonious ways to resolve them. And my experience, I've been doing this for 20 years now, and it's at least from my point of view, it's ultimately the best way of doing it. But there is an issue with timing. Sometimes the people just aren't, the timing isn't right for mediation, for example. And so that, and sometimes there's other issues that need to really truly be resolved in court. And especially if you're dealing with unreasonable parties, and sometimes they really do need to get in front of a judge and have a judge, you know, figure things out for them.
So tell us how it works. Do you have to be face to face, or sometimes can you be just on the phone and you will mediate between them? What would a scenario be like when someone comes in to meet you and to look at their divorce?
Well, first of all, what we would do is we would actually do a lot of information gathering on the front end. We would also then, the parties do generally typically meet face-to-face, but they don't have to. There's many different forms of mediation, and I think ultimately what the mediator's job is to figure out what's the best process within the mediation structure to help the parties get to a resolution. So there have been many times where the parties never even see each other during the day. They're in separate rooms, and there's sort of this caucusing that occurs, and the mediator goes back and forth between the rooms. And if it's a lawyer-assisted mediation, which I think ultimately is the best, although it's a little bit more costly, but it often can be efficient in other ways, is that sometimes the lawyers spend a lot of time meeting with the mediator, and the lawyers go back and forth between the parties and help them figure things out. But generally speaking, the mediation, a day of mediation would start start with everybody meeting in a boardroom-type fashion. And generally, there's about an hour or so discussion about what the issues are and identifying what's important to everybody. And then the parties would then retreat to their own separate rooms, and the mediator would help that discussion go back and forth. And generally speaking, if there's a resolution, and what's so fascinating about mediation that I find is that people often come in the very negative view in the front end at the beginning of the day, and then by the usually the 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, people start seeing, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. They start seeing that there is a resolution in sight, and you start to gain momentum. And generally speaking, most of these disputes are resolved by 5, 6 o'clock in the evening. And they get it done, and then an agreement is drawn up. The parties sign off, and then away they go. And then we can. Then there's the logistics of executing on the agreement. But it really, quite frankly, in my mind, is quite a healthy experience. Now, generally speaking, if the parties, you know, mediation also requires compromise, and generally speaking, people have to give a little bit on both ends for there to be something that's really met, where you meet somewhere in the middle, and mm-hmm. you have to work together. And you mentioned the whole issue around children. You got to keep in mind, when people have children, just because they're separating, for example, doesn't mean they're going to be parents indefinitely, forever, for the balance of their lives. So they got to figure out a way how to make that work. And there's lots of other ways of working on parenting plans for the mediation process and bringing in other professionals that can help and assist the parties in thinking about the issues that are important and making sure things are put in place for their children that make sense.
And it seems so much more positive than, you know, especially with young kids in the home and dragging them through it. Like you say, they'll get married one day, there'll be events, they have to be together. If you can, you know, get it right in the start. Plus, you're going to save a lot of money, I assume, if you can work it out before you have to do that settlement. And that would be a binding settlement that you mediate.
Right, absolutely. There's no point in doing it otherwise. And the courts are really, really thrilled when these sort of disputes are resolved by mediation and a binding settlement in place. And so they're loath to sort of set those sort of things aside, especially when the parties have properly independent legal advice or even counsel with them at the mediation. So it's really quite an interesting, and it's always for me a very rewarding experience. And in a really good one where it's healthy and there's a good result, the parties all come together at the end of the day and they express some appreciation to each other and everybody that helped them get there. You know, sometimes parties, they even at that point, notwithstanding the fact that they reached the settlement, can't actually come together at the end of the day because they really just can't emotionally get there, and you know, they have to sort those sort of feelings out later, I think, and they go their separate ways, and they may not even see each other throughout the day, but they got a deal in place. And ultimately, quite frankly, the faster you put these things behind you and you move on and start looking at those open doors that are ahead of you, your life is just going to change remarkably. So we're really keen. We find that we get a lot of job satisfaction, the team that we work with here at Hart Legal, that in helping people go, you know, resolve their disputes in this fashion. And we feel, you know, so many rewards, and we really enjoy and love what we do. We have a pretty dedicated group.
And when we come back, Darren, I just want to talk for a few minutes about family conflict avoidance and estate disputes. Back in a minute with
sure.
Darren.
When it rains, it pours. Or will it? We get it right with an accurate, up-to-the-minute forecast. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Until closing Sunday, it's the three-day sale at Safeway. Just visit any Safeway location and take advantage of all the savings, like extra lean ground beef. The Fluff Style Packs are club-priced at $2.99 a pound. Lucerne Grade A large eggs sold in the carton of one dozen are extreme priced at $2 for $4. And in the produce department, number one grade strawberries sold in the 1 pound packs are extreme priced at $2 each. Check this week's flyer for all the 3 day sale savings. That's ingredients for life. Safeway.
It's time for more speedy tips from Speedy Auto's Mike and Kim.
Buying a car through private purchase can be risky business. The previous owner may not tell you or even know about potential problems with a vehicle. That's why Speedy offers full pre-purchase auto inspection.
Before you drop a pile of money buying a car, make sure you don't dump a pile more into repairs. For just $59.90, we'll do a thorough inspection and give you peace of mind before you buy.
Because it's Speedy, you're a somebody. Speedy Auto, 2992 Douglas Street, south of Mayfair, 385-8717.
This year, get the Working Opportunity Fund commercialization shares working for you. Receive extra tax savings of up to 30% with the added bonus of dividend payments of up to 25% over a 3-year period. An RSP investment that delivers the tax savings and dividends you deserve. The Working Opportunity Fund commercialization shares. Invest today. Shares of the fund are sold by prospectus. Go to growthworks.ca for details and limitations. Dividends are not guaranteed.
Listen to the Connor Financial Report every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Frankly speaking, you can't afford to miss it.
Never at the right place at the right time? Well, for the rest of the month at Victoria Hyundai, you can be. Get the last of the 2012 Sonata Hybrids, and until February 28th, you can have it all. Don't want to pay for the hybrid motor? No problem. It's yours, no charge. Want 0% and the cash rebate? No problem. It's yours. Get a loaded 2012 Sonata Hybrid from $0 down, $139 biweekly. Hurry into Victoria Hyundai, 525 Gorge Road East. Details at victoriahyundai.com.
We are back with Darren Hart from Hart Legal, Redefining Conflict Resolution. Darren, we were talking before about divorce and separation, but also I want to talk about estates and family conflict avoidance. So when someone does die, if they don't have a proper will or there's questionable wills, you deal with that. But also I think a great thing is to do something before you die so that you don't have that problem. Tell us about that kind of mediation.
Well, that's the kind of you're talking about in an estate context. You can definitely have a mediation, and where there could be some issues around children and their parents, or like often it's a situation where there's one surviving parent, one of the parents have already passed on, and a number of issues need to be resolved going forward, and getting everybody on the same page in terms of their planning. But ultimately, good planning done with good lawyers, in particular, in my mind, avoids so much conflict and problems down the road. And there's so many different ways that you can do that by thinking through the issues that might arise after a parent passes on, for example. The other thing that drives a lot of conflict in estate disputes is often when you get involved in situations where there are second marriages. And that you can have, I find the disputes typically, and there's a lot of, again, you mentioned the family aspect to this, a lot of the same emotions come up in the estate disputes because they're fighting against family members, it's siblings fighting, or it's siblings having disputes with their stepmother or stepfather or things such as that. And with really good planning and making sure that you have a good will in place, good powers of attorney, good smart people involved with maybe even representation agreements, so that you can avoid so many of the problems that can arise later. But when they do arise, mediation is another wonderful way of getting multiple parties together and thinking through those issues and getting to a place where, you know, they can put a lot of this behind them. But so much of those burning issues that have been around for 40 or 50 years, did mom love me more, or love my brother more, or my sister more, or that kind of stuff comes out. It's really interesting. It's rewarding to see a lot of that cleansing that occurs more than anything of the past that gets brought to the surface and then gets wiped clean. And so I find that part of it very rewarding and helping and enable people to look forward and move in better directions in their lives.
Because, Darren, I think in all this, whether it's divorce, separation, or estates and conflict, everybody wants to get along and love each other, so to speak, and it's tough when money or these things come into play. And sometimes you do need a mediator just to sort of step back so that you can continue these relationships down the road.
You absolutely do, because the one thing, too, that's great about mediation, there's a great judge in town, who'll remain nameless, but he once said in a talk that he was giving how important it is to realize and fully appreciate that everybody comes to the table, with that being parties, with their own perspectives. So often, what drives us is the emotional side of our brain as opposed to our rational side of our brain. And it's our perspectives. And quite frankly, people might think that there's a clear black and white, and there really isn't. It's just somebody's perspective might be completely different, but there might be completely good reasons why they have that perspective. And they just don't see the facts the way you see them. So coming together with a mediator who's skilled and can facilitate that discussion, it really helps people to see the other person's perspective, which helps you get to the end game, to a result, to a resolution.
And I think, Darren, that's just it, living in the gray, not the black and white. Mm-hmm. We have a caller here, Darren. Stephen, hi, you wanted to ask Darren about costs?
Yes, please, and I appreciate the opportunity. What are the service costs for this service, please?
Oh, in terms of mediation?
Yes.
Generally speaking, what you're doing, if you have a lawyer that's helping you, and assisting you through the process, you'd have the cost of your lawyer. And then generally speaking, the parties share the cost of the mediator. And the mediators charge anywhere between, in Victoria, it's typically between $100 to $300 an hour. An all-day mediation would be something that's, can be somewhere between 6 to 8 hours worth of mediation if you do it in that sort of fashion. But again, there's lots of different formats for doing this. But generally, the parties would share the cost of the mediator and then be responsible for the cost of their own lawyer if they have that. Now, you can do mediation without a lawyer, but the mediator will insist that you actually get independent legal advice if a resolution is reached and they've drafted some sort of settlement agreement. They'll send you out to get independent legal advice. And in those circumstances, you might be able to get independent legal advice for maybe just an hour or 2 hours worth of time with another lawyer. So that can kind of keep the cost down. But realistically speaking, we actually at Hart Legal, we have a model where you mentioned our website, Patty, which is under right now as we speak is being revised to add this model into our service, is to actually provide a flat fee mediation, which would include sort of information gathering, up to 6 hours of mediation, a settlement agreement, and independent legal advice. And if you wanted to get more information about that, you can always call our office.
Do you have a new one for dealing with parents and their teens? No, I'm kidding. Now, you're in Victoria and Vancouver.
Teens, you know, parents and teens can do it. There are some really good mediators that are good at dealing with that and good. It's amazing. People just have to stop avoiding conflict. The bottom line is they got to deal with it. They got to get their head out of the sand and move forward, and their life gets so much better. And so often I find people like, why didn't I do this like years before? You know, because realistically speaking, we're not only on this planet for all that long, right? We got to get moving. Just keep moving.
The glass is half full, Darren.
Right.
I've enjoyed our talk. Tell people how to get a hold of you if they want to know more.
Oh, I would call our office here in Victoria. We're on Wharf Street, right across from the old Pink Customs Building, above Nautical Nellie's. Our telephone number is 250-388-9477.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I've gotten lots out of it. I hope our listening audience has as well, and I hope you have a great day.
Thank you so much. You have a great day, too.
You betcha. Now we're going to switch gears completely. Thank you, TJ, who always helps with all the buttons, and Emily. We're going to talk to Nancy Gray Hemstock about saging, which is another really positive part of life, which is, you know, people think when you get older you have to be a certain way. But Nancy's going to tell us how you can improve your life as you live the second half of it. How are you doing, Nancy?
Patty, nice to talk to you and everyone else.
You too. Listen how bright she is already. Nancy, I know you've been involved in saging for a while. Can you tell us what it is and what your role in that is?
Yes, saging is a process that promotes conscious and positive attitude towards aging. And, you know, it changes our perception of aging, which is usually by other areas, our culture and media and medical or health authorities that make us look at all the negative aspects of aging, and we want to look at the positive and how we can make a difference in ourselves and our families and our world and our planet.
And it is so true. I know my daughter always asks, don't you wish you were my age again? I go, no. And I don't think they can quite understand that once you've sort of done that and you've done it well, in your own mind, you really are happy at where you're at in life if you have the right attitude.
You really are. And I always say imagine aging as a gift, not a burden, but an opportunity, not a problem.
Really, because there's so many people that don't make it, and we should be celebrating each day we have and trying to make the most of it.
We sure should, and we can. You know, we can make choices around anything that we go through in life and look at. We've got, in saging, we do a lot of different, we give workshops. We do a lot of different modules, such as harvesting wisdom, such as looking at life review, such as mentoring, and how we can be the sage or the sage in our own tribe, which is our communities or our families or, you know, our country even.
And be relevant.
Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, and this whole thing with boomers, you know, not wanting to age, not wanting to die, not wanting to think they're any older than, you know, 20. How do we change that? Is that what is the root of saging and where did it start?
Well, it started with a book called From Aging to Saging. Actually, it started with the writer of that book, Rabbi Zalman Schachter Shalomi. And he was 60 years old when he thought, oh my gosh, his life is pretty much over. He's done a lot of things that he thought were positive in his life, but now he thought of only the decline. So he went away on a retreat. And he went to the desert, such as Jesus would. And he came out of it with a real gift and progressive idea of what aging can be. And that's where it started. And it has built and is now really formed by an organization called Saging International, which can be, which is online as saging.org.
And it's really growing. I see that, you know, the mission statement is really to grow this and grow this.
Yes, yes, it is really growing. We had a conference in North Carolina last October, and it's just amazing. You know, half of the people that were attending the conference were new and maybe didn't hear about saging before, or maybe were just learning about it. So, yeah, we look at the myths of aging and really affirm the older years. We look at, like I said, harvesting the wisdom and deciding how to transmit our legacy to future generations. review the past and just look at people's wisdom. They don't know by living this many years, and we're all survivors if we have.
Yeah,
to
so what are those qualities to be a survivor?
Oh, well. Well, first of all, you have to survive living, right?
Yeah.
And as long as you're alive, you have a lot to look forward to. And qualities really are resilience, I think, and curiosity. Mm-hmm. And seeing opportunities in life. We have, as you know, we started doing a little group at the Cedars, which is a residential facility in Victoria. And we have a group of people that meet once a month, and they love every one of it. One woman said last time, these people that run this group, they think we have wisdom, so we're going to keep coming.
Oh, that's so cool. You know, that was where my mom was, and it's a wonderful place. I'm so glad that's still going on, and you're getting such positive results, because there are so many great stories. Everybody has a story. But if someone's home right now, Nancy, and they're feeling kind of low, maybe they're like the rabbi, they turn 60, they don't know what the next step is, what can you say today to encourage them to feel better, live better?
I would say, you know, you might read the book From Aging to Saging. It's about progressive aging. And if you get a chance, you know, to just kind of sit down and see what your choices are and how you choose to live the rest of your life. You know, develop your own vision of yourself as an elder.
You have the time and the luxury to say be something you maybe weren't in the past life.
That's right. You have the time.
You can choose
to be whoever you want to be.
Now, you have a workshop coming up, Coming of Age. Tell us all the details, because people can come to that and get fixed right there.
Yes, they can. We're having a wonderful weekend workshop, and it is called Coming of Age. And it will be May 10th to the 12th on the weekend, from Friday night to Sunday afternoon, at Sleeping Dog Farm in Victoria. And we will be looking at all the ways you can become a sage, and which are many, you know, which are identifying the ways we can, you know, be mentors or healers in society. We can learn about, you know, leaving a legacy, not the financial legacy, but a legacy of who we are.
That's important. And they can get a hold of you through your website or through your email?
You sure can. You can get a hold of me at my phone number, which is 250-389-1448. Or my email address.
And that's Nancy Gray Hemstock at shaw.ca. That's G-R-A-Y Hemstock. And you can also email me, lifestylewithpattymack.com. Great talking to you, Nancy. Have a wonderful day. I know you will. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Patty.
Take care.
And everyone. Bye-bye.
This sale is for the birds and the people who love them. The Winter Bird Food Sale at Wild Birds Unlimited. Right now, save 10% on all bird food products. And buy 4 suet and get the 5th one free. That's a 20% savings. The Winter Bird Food Sale is happening now at Wild Birds Unlimited.
We bring people and nature together.
In the heart of the Shelburne Valley.
The Great American Race. 200 laps. 500 miles. This track, unforgiving, with no margins for error. One wrong move can be the difference between this and this. It's the 55th running of the Daytona 500. Tomorrow at 9 a.m. on TSN. Also available live on TSN Mobile TV.
This is Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Good morning, I'm Kyle Reynolds with CFAX 1070 News. They may be behind in the polls, but BC Liberals put on a brave face this morning during an event being held in Vancouver. Sonia Beeksma reports.
The Premier, along with close to 50 candidates from across the province, launched a campaign-style event today. The crowd cheered on as each candidate introduced themselves and stated their commitment to British Columbia. Premier Christy Clark took to the stage to rally up the party faithful, saying this is the year she wants the future generation to remember as a year of change. Although the recent poll suggests the Liberal Party is falling behind in popularity, the Premier and her team are confident the Liberals can lead British Columbians to a debt-free future. The NDP will hold a similar-style event tomorrow in Burnaby. Sonny Beeksma, Vancouver.
The RCMP is saying the hull of an overturned fishing boat off the southwest coast of Nova Scotia was spotted this morning. George Hopkins, whose son Joel was on board, says a fishing boat and the Canadian Coast Guard are now on site.
Weather conditions aren't perfect for divers right yet. It's getting better. We got another boat going to be there by 3 or 4 this afternoon with four more divers in it.
The boat capsized in heavy seas on Sunday with the loss of five young fishermen. The lawyer for a man at the center of a miscarriage of justice in a gang rape case says Gurdev Singh Dhillon wants to return to Canada to clear his name. He was convicted of sexual assault for his role in a 2004 attack on a woman in Surrey, and he was deported to India in 2008. But lawyer Paul Briggs says new information released this week by the criminal justice branch could have exonerated his client. Briggs says Dhillon wants to get an appeal to return to Canada. North Korea has warned the top U.S. commander in South Korea to cancel upcoming drills aimed at deterring Pyongyang's military provocations. The U.S. and South Korea earlier notified the North of their plan to begin the annual exercises next month. Reporter Sam Kim says North Korea calls the joint drills a prominent example of U.S. hostility against it.
North Korea believes that the massive drills do threaten North Korea's stability. South Korea and the United States say that these drills are purely defensive and are aimed at deterring Pyongyang's military provocations. But North Korea goes into a state of alert when such drills take place.
Pyongyang says the hostility compelled the North to conduct its February 12th nuclear tests. After the news at 11 o'clock this morning, we call the number listed for the Deitch residents. Still no correct answer to our newsmaker question, though. So after the news at noon today, our jackpot will be $340, and that is courtesy of Glenwood Meats at 1245 Parkdale Drive in Langford. CFAX 1070 weather now. A mix of sun and cloud today. High of 9 degrees. We are sitting at 9 degrees currently downtown. Clouds tonight. A small chance of drizzle or rain overnight with a low of 4 degrees. And tomorrow, not quite as nice as today. Cloudy with a good chance of either rain or drizzle throughout the day and early evening as well. High of 7 degrees. I'm Kyle Reynolds. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority. CFAX 1070. It's 11:34.
Now, Lifestyle with Patty Mack on CFAX 1070.
We are back. Lorna Vanderhaeg is going to join us in a minute, talking about February's National Heart Month. And, of course, Lorna is the author of 11 books, including Your Heart, Your 30-Day Heart Smart Solution, A Smart Woman's Guide to Heart Health. And, you know, the amount of heart attacks and heart disease in women is escalating every year. And, of course, there's always the thing about HRT and heart disease. Lorna believes that estrogen and progesterone increase the risk for blood clot, stroke, and breast cancer. There are many solutions to prevent heart disease, and of course, Lorna has all that information. We have Lorna here in 1 minute. Just 1 second. She is the expert, not me, so we will let her talk about it. Thank you, Emily. Hey, Lorna, how are you?
I'm good. How are you
doing? Excellent. You missed all the glowing remarks I just said about you, how wonderful you are.
Oh, that's so sad.
So sad. Lorna, we're talking about, you know, National Heart Month, and of course you do have your book about that. It's amazing how many women, you know, we used to think that it was breast cancer that was the major killer, but heart disease is taking over that, and you say it's preventable.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when we look at heart disease in general for both men and women, it's an easily preventable condition when we look at the fact that the majority of it is caused by stress in our lives, poor food choices, and some of the other things that clog up our arteries. And the reason why women have higher rates of heart attack and death than men do is simply because we're smaller, we have smaller arteries, we have smaller capillaries, and so we don't have as much room to mess things up. And, of course, our lifestyles have become the same now. We're working full-time, we're under lots of stress, we're running our families, and so as a result, we're getting those same statistics. The sad fact is, though, even today, after all the education, when women walk into the emergency room, they tend to get different types of treatment than men do.
Wow. Now, that's interesting about, you know, the smaller blood vessels. I hadn't really heard that. Stress, how does that affect heart disease?
When we're under lots and lots of stress, especially chronic stress, we have a hormone called cortisol that's increased. And cortisol is our stress hormone. And when it's continual, it raises our blood pressure. So that creates additional stress. And remember that blood pressure, elevated blood pressure, and high cholesterol are two major risk factors for heart disease. Although an interesting fact is that 50% of people who have a heart attack have perfectly normal cholesterol and blood pressure. And those people, they believe now, are having heart attacks due to increased inflammation. And one of the connections back to stress is that when you have high amounts of cortisol in your system, you end up with more inflammation in the body. So this may be the connection to increased risk of heart attack.
Now, how do you affect that? You know, we say about stress, and how do we stop that, because it's in our lives. How do we change so that we don't feel so uptight and have that affect our cortisol levels?
Well, I think the first thing is, if you hate your job, find a new job. You know, spend all your waking hours trying to find a job that isn't as stressful. You know, there's the types of stress that we're under that we that don't have negative effects because we love what we're doing, and it's just because you're doing a bit too much of it. Mm-hmm. But if you really, truly hate your job and dislike your boss and you spend most of your day there, I think you should look for a new job. Things like deep breathing exercises, they have proven that this is so great for lowering blood pressure and helping us deal with stress. You know, breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth. Do it while you're in your car. Do it now.
Do it now, you know.
And then, you know, the key thing is eat tons of veggies. And I know it's a boring subject, but eat lots of veggies and look at the healthy fats. You've got to consume lots and lots of healthy fats to keep your arteries clear. And that would be the omega-3 fats. And I really love calamari oil because it's environmentally friendly versus fish oils and has lots of DHA for your heart, which is so important. And, you know, look at the nutrients you can take to lower blood pressure as well. So there's lots of things we can do. And I have a free book on my website at hormonehealth.com called Your 30-Day Heart Smart Solution. And it's all about how to normalize inflammation, how to get your blood pressure normal quickly, like within a matter of a week or two, not months and months and months on drugs, and how to get that cholesterol level back into the normal range.
Oh, that's great, Lorna. Now, listen, tell me, what is a normal blood pressure? Because we hear, you know, 120 over 80 or 130 or 90. What do you think is normal or okay?
Well, what we're seeing as the standard now is a below 120 over 80. Mm. So, you know, I had a fellow who contacted me who had a blood pressure that was 200 over 120.
Ooh.
And he was walking around with headaches all day. He was very stressed. He refused to take high blood pressure medications because he had tried them before and they'd made him impotent, which is a common side effect in men. So he wouldn't take the high blood pressure medication. And in that kind of situation, you very, very quickly want to get people's blood pressure back into the normal range so they don't have a stroke.
Yeah. What about if you're 130 over 90 or 140 in that range? Is that doable, or is that a sign of aging that happens to everybody?
Oh, well, if you're 130 or 140, at that point, you better be paying attention and getting it into the normal range. And in women, I want to let women know that they've discovered that women who have chronic insomnia, who don't sleep all night long, they tend to develop elevated blood pressure. And so just getting women back to sleep can put their blood pressure into the normal range as well. Yes. And so if somebody came to me and said, you know, my blood pressure is 130 over 90 or 130 over 80, and some days it's 140 over that, I would immediately recommend that they take the tried and true nutritional supplement for high blood pressure, which is magnesium bisglycinate. And magnesium bisglycinate is not like the other kinds of magnesium that you buy in the health food store. Magnesium bisglycinate bisglycinates in research for lowering high blood pressure, it's also the only type of magnesium that actually gets into the cell. Most magnesium supplements are laxatives. So if you have high blood pressure, you want to go on magnesium bisglycinate. I'd add a little bit of taurine. And we have great powdered magnesium supplements that you can buy in the health food store, in the pharmacy, and even Thrifty's and some of the grocery stores that will normalize your blood pressure quickly.
Okay, when we come back, I want to talk about more about blood pressure and inflammation. Back with Lorna in a minute.
Rain, sun, snow.
We get it right with an accurate forecast. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070. Now, CFAX 1070 Community Connection.
Brought to you by Saffron Window Fashions.
Hi, I'm Wesley for CFAX 1070. It's chilly outside, but the sun is shining, and we're here at the Swan Lake Christmas Hill Nature Sanctuary. And we're here to talk about the sanctuary's spring gardening workshops that kick off today. These are free 3-hour workshops on gardening with drought-resistant native plants. So if you're a beginner gardener or you want to learn more about plant life native to the island, to learn it from the experts here at the sanctuary, the workshop includes a guided tour, gardening tips, and tons of other useful information. The first workshop starts today at 1 p.m. So head to swanlake.bc.ca to register. If you can't make it out today, no worries. Lots of other classes all throughout spring, but register early because classes do fill quickly. That's it for your Community Connection, brought to you by Saffron Windows, Fashion, Drapery, and Blinds on CFAX 1070.
Honey, I'm home.
Hello.
Is the chandelier hooked up?
Yeah. Well, not me. Someone else did it.
Who?
Remember Dave?
Yes.
Well, he knows a guy who has a friend whose cousin went to school with the brother of a nephew whose uncle knows some guy. But he was busy, so George did it.
Well, does it work?
It's hooked up. It hangs nice.
But does it work?
All right, I'll call Hool Electric.
You've seen their trucks all over town. Now have a licensed professional from Hool Electric come over to your house to get the job done right the first time. Houle.ca.
You won't believe it's the same home or office. Right now, End of the Roll is offering incredible savings during their $24 million flooring event. Every item is priced for immediate sale, many with major reductions. The stores are filled with hardwood, laminate, carpet, vinyl, tiles, and area rugs so you can enjoy your new flooring immediately. Hurry in and check out the $24 million flooring event at End of the Roll. Come see our new location on 601 Valeskin Road and on Millstream Road in Langford.
We are back with Lorna Vanderhaeghe. We're talking about National Heart Month, and you always give us such great information. Now, inflammation, what does that mean exactly? Because you hear more and more about that. Is that something in our body that's caused by something, a disease? What is the inflammation?
Well, it's a great question, because when we think about inflammation, we think about arthritis. Or, you know, you slip and fall on the ice and you sprain your ankle and it gets red, hot, painful, and swollen. That's actually inflammation you can see. The inflammation that's associated with heart disease that's so dangerous is inflammation we can't see. But the good news is when you go and have cholesterol checks, so you go and have a cholesterol blood test, a triglyceride, you also ask for a CRP. And CRP stands for C-reactive protein. And this is a marker in your blood that tells you how much inflammation you have going on. And if your CRP is above 3, then you're at a much higher risk of having heart attack or stroke. So it's a very nice predictive test. It's covered by medical. It's not expensive. I think the last I heard it's like $38. So it's not burdening our medical system. And it should be what part of your panel that you have done in regards to heart disease. And remember, if you have a family member with high cholesterol, high blood pressure, or they've had heart attacks or stents put in or strokes, don't eat like them. You know, immediately change your diet. Start to eat more vegetables. You know, take the fatty acids that clean out the arteries and, you know, really look at de-stressing your life.
And postmenopausal women, they're more at risk. Why does that happen for women?
Well, they used to think that it was associated with estrogen, but when they did the Women's Health Initiative study, they discovered that even if they increased a woman's estrogen levels using hormone replacement therapy, that women still had actually more heart attacks and strokes. So that was the whole reason why they halted the Women's Health Initiative study when they were giving women Premarin and Provera. So they're really not sure. The scientists that I work with believe it's all related to inflammation, because when you go through menopause, a lot of women will suddenly be diagnosed with menopausal arthritis or menopausal fibromyalgia. Someone who's been fine their entire life and now they're 54 and they get diagnosed with fibromyalgia, which is muscle pain, they believe it's inflammation. So increased inflammation in the body, again, due to fluctuating hormones, may be the reason why postmenopausal women have an increased risk. And of course, now we have the same lifestyles as men did, you know, back in the days when my mother was a mom at home and raising kids. She worked at home. She was at home with her family. Their rates of heart disease were much lower. Now we have women working full-time and working, you know, well into their 60s and 70s. So we're going to see a lot of the similar stress issues associated for women as for men. So the good news is, though, is we can reverse all of this. We have control over it. And even in people with familial high cholesterol, so that's a high cholesterol that the doctor says you have to take cholesterol-lowering drugs. Yeah. They did a big study, and they took people out of their homes, and they fed them 7 pounds of vegetables a day. That sounds like a lot, but remember, some veggies are kind of heavy. And what they found, in 7 days, every single participant had their cholesterol drop by 25 points. So that's huge, just by diet change. So if, and a lot of people think the way to lower cholesterol is to eat oatmeal, and you'd have to eat bucket loads of it to have your cholesterol lower, whereas eating lots and lots of vegetables locks on to that excess cholesterol in the body, and it's excreted in the stool. So what a great way to, you know, lower cholesterol, simply by consuming bucket loads of veggies. If you're going to drink alcohol, that increases cholesterol. So then you might want to look at some of the natural cholesterol-lowering agents that are found in the health food store. And one of them that's quite good is called citronol, which has excellent research showing it can lower cholesterol and elevated triglycerides in 30 days.
Wow. So weight is important too then. If you're talking about nutrition and vegetables and how important that is for everything, a weight loss would help in those areas as well for heart attacks.
Oh, yeah. I sat next to this beautiful gentleman at a lunch the other day, and he was so overweight. And all I kept thinking is, I need to help fix your diet, because he said, I'm too busy to exercise, which most of us are. So if you don't have time to exercise, then we need to shift your diet so that you're not going to develop, you know, obesity and become overweight and increase your risk of heart attack and stroke. But sometimes people aren't receptive to changing their diet. And I think often we feel trapped. We feel like there's really nothing we can do, that we're stuck in this situation mm-hmm. with our health. And yet you're absolutely right. Losing even 5 pounds reduces your risk of heart attack and stroke on somebody. So for every 5 pounds you lose, you reduce that risk. And, you know, if you're a young person in your 50s and you've got kids, you really need to take charge of your heart health.
Well, that's been great information, Lorna. If people want to know more about you and about their heart and information about that, how do they get a hold of you?
They can go to the website at hormone, the word hormone and the word help, H-E-L-P, .com. So hormonehelp.com. If they go to the book button, they can click on your 30-day Heart Smart Solution, which is a free book teaching them how to lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol and what a CRP test is all about.
And I guess you'd also say, if you have any symptoms and you're wondering if it's a heart attack, get to the hospital.
Oh, you're absolutely right. They did a study in women where they found that women wait on average 5 days to seek medical care for a heart attack because they didn't want to bother anybody. So if you have any symptom, you walk in that emergency room and you say, I think I'm having a heart attack, and get treated quickly.
Great talking to you, Lorna. Have a wonderful day, and thanks for all your wonderful information.
Back
in a minute. We're going to talk with Ilona about courtship.
River cruising is hot. From the Danube to the Zambezi, there's a river cruise for every taste, style, and budget. This is Julie Skinner from Vision 2000 Travel inviting you to join us on Sunday, March 10th for the river cruise event of the year. Call 250-412-1888 to reserve your spot and get access to special offers available only at this show. Don't miss the boat. Vision 2000 Travel, vacations crafted by professionals. 250-412-1888.
Pharmacies are all the same.
People's Pharmacy isn't.
Convince me.
Sure. People's Pharmacy is family-owned and community-focused, and every People's Pharmacy is infused with Mazriani's commitment, energy, and personal touch, proudly sponsoring the Walk for ALS, the World Partnership Walk, and more. People's Pharmacy is the community pharmacy. They're different. They're better.
I'll check it out.
People's Pharmacy in Fairfield Plaza, Shelbourne Plaza, and Cadboro Bay. Online at victoriapharmacy.com.
Enjoy the great outdoors. Gear up and catch the 19th annual Victoria Boat and Fishing Show, brought to you by Island Outfitters. Bring the whole family and see 30,000 square feet of outdoor adventure exhibits, including their interactive hobby kayak center. Try your luck at the Victoria Indoor Air Gun Range, save on gear, fashions, and more, and enter to win amazing door prizes. The Victoria Boat and Fishing Show, reeling in the best deals of the season, on this weekend at Perks Recreation Center, Tillicum Mall.
Visit victoriaboatshow.com.
This year, get the Working Opportunity Fund commercialization shares working for you. Receive extra tax savings of up to 30% with the added bonus of dividend payments of up to 25% over a three-year period. An RSP investment that delivers the tax savings and dividends you deserve. The Working Opportunity Fund commercialization shares. Invest today. Shares of the fund are sold by prospectus. Go to growthworks.ca for details and limitations. Dividends are not guaranteed.
Listen to the Connor Financial Report every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Frankly speaking, you can't afford to miss it.
We are back with Lana Jurevec, and she's from queendom.com, the land of tests. And the newest test is Courtship in a Modern World. The study reveals that chivalry is alive and well. How are you, Lana?
Hello, I'm good. Yourself?
I'm very good. Now, I know it's Heart Month, and we've had, of course, Valentine's Day. So people still want old romantic rituals. They're still going strong. Tell us about the study.
Well, the study was done with a couple of our tests. We have a romantic personality test, and we also have a test that assesses gender roles. So it's looking at how the traditional gender roles are changing and how it affects courtship rituals, division of household chores, and so forth, and in the workplace as well. So we've used these tests to collect the data from a lot of people. Actually, for the romantic personality test, we had about 25,000 people, and for the gender roles, we had almost 1,000 men and 1,600 women. And then we ran statistical analyses and realized that there are some interesting differences and some interesting similarities as well.
And you're finding that the younger people are more romantic than the older ones, or want the older rituals more?
Well, that was one of the findings, that guys under 30, for instance, had held kind of more traditional gender roles than the men over 30. Now, why is that is obviously the million-dollar question. But one of the hypotheses is that the guys who have been around the block a few times, they kind of learned that nothing is black and white, you know, and they've got more experience, and they've been perhaps asked out by a woman, and they realize that the world's still turning, you know. So through experience, they acquired the knowledge that it's really okay, and that women are perfectly capable of asking a man out, or even propose for a marriage. And then a lot of women don't really expect, for instance, the guy to pay for the first date.
Oh, come on! I think they still do, don't they?
Well,
Emily's saying yes.
A percentage of women still do, but especially if the woman is the one doing the asking, she actually expects that she will pay. Now, that doesn't mean that the guy shouldn't offer. You know, it's still a very gentlemanly thing to do to at least offer to pay, or assume that they will pay. But if the woman insists on either splitting the bill or paying, then, you know, just go with the flow.
And what about, playing hard to get? Do men think that's a nice quality that, you know?
Yeah, actual men hate it. The vast majority of men don't really like that. And some women might still feel that it's creating all this mystery and it's going to hook the man, more tightly. But it might have a tendency to backfire, and it's definitely not something that is appreciated. It's hard for guys, to face all this possibility of rejection. And when the woman is playing hard to get, a lot of men will just give up and move on to someone who is more appreciative of their attention.
Not like women who just hang on. I wish I'd known that saying from Sex and the City, he's just not that into you. Either someone likes you or they don't, right? I mean, I watch all these shows on TV, The Bachelor, Bachelorette, and, you know, there's a connection or there's not, right? You can't make these things up.
No.
No. You can't argue that one. So what are some of your tips then to keep the romance going?
The tips are basically surrounded or centered on just try to figure out what will please your partner. And one of the most important findings, really, from our study is that chivalry is still very much appreciated. And, romance is still going on pretty strong. But it has kind of become more of an equal opportunity endeavor. You know, women are much more willing to put some effort into romancing, and it seems that it is appreciated on both sides, and you don't really have to go for the gender divide. So, in terms of, for instance, if you are with a particular partner, you've been with that person for a while, the passion may not be what it used to be, and so forth. There are other responsibilities, kids and household chores, and all this stuff, but that are really kind of passion killers. But
don't have kids.
Yeah, but you need to figure out what is your partner not getting enough of, you know, and you need to, especially women, need to kind of reevaluate how we are having some prejudice against men in terms of in the romantic department, because in our studies and in other studies done by other researchers, everybody is finding that men are actually quite romantic, and they are more romantic than women in a sense. It's just that they express it very differently.
Well, I think we've got about 30 seconds here, so I guess we should all do something nice for each other. That's the best start. Now, how do people know more about Queendom.com and about the tests you do, Elena?
They can go on the website, queendom.com, and there are listings of the variety of tests. We've got about 150 different assessments that are scientifically validated, and then hundreds of fun tests, stuff like you would find in a women's magazine.
Well, I always like talking to you. Great topics. We've got Emily and TJ here, of course, who are young people, and I'm sure can use all this advice too. We always can. Thanks, Emily and TJ, and thank you, Lana. Thanks to all the guests for being on the show today. I hope you get out there and enjoy. Till we meet again.